Good morning. Would you turn to 1 Kings chapter 20? I'm going to read these first 30 verses of 1 Kings chapter 20. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria. That's where Ahab was, the king of Israel, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto them, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I'm thine and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I've sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I'll send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search out thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. That's pretty severe, isn't it? Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for me to thy servant at the first I'll do, but this thing I will not do. I'm not going to let you come and just take whatever is pleasant in mine eyes. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me and more also if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls of all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Now what he's saying is, don't boast before the battle's over. When you're just getting ready to war, you don't even know if you're going to win. You can only boast after you put the sword back in the sheath and everything's taken care of. Don't boast in a victory that has not been accomplished yet. Verse 12, And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he sent unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Who this prophet was, we're not sure. It could have been Micaiah. I don't think it was Elijah. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. And he numbered the young men of the princes of the province, and there were 232. And after that he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. This is a very small army. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings and the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the province went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the province came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled. And Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter, just like the prophet said would take place. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Now this is, they're speaking to Ben-Hadad, this is not Israel. Their gods, the gods of Israel, are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. Let us fight against them in the plains, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present, went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. Their army was vastly larger than Israel's. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Now this was that army of 7,000. They slew 100,000 footmen, but the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there was a wall that fell upon the city. There was a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name with thanksgiving. We're so thankful for the mercy, the grace, the salvation that's in your Son. We're so thankful for his beauty, for his righteousness. We're so thankful that we're found in him. We're so thankful for the forgiveness of sins that's in him. And we're so thankful that all things work together for good to them that love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Now, Lord, make yourself known to us through your word. Enable us to worship. Enable us to hear your gospel. Oh, Lord, that we might be found in Christ. Forgive us of our sins. Give us grace to love you more and to love one another more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. That's a long story. Took a long time to read it. But this is the gospel. Now, every passage of scripture we come across in the Old Testament, it's always given to teach us something of the gospel. Now, Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria, Israel's biggest threat at that time, and his name means son of a false god. That's interesting, isn't it? That gives you some idea, gives us some idea of what this man typifies. He typifies the natural man. And if you read this passage of Scripture, he was such a wicked man. He was going to take everything that belonged to Ahab, everything that was pleasant in his eyes. He didn't care. He was an immoral man. He was just a wicked man. You can see all that from reading this passage of Scripture. That's why I wanted to read the whole thing. He was a wicked man, and he represents the natural man. Now, somebody says, all men aren't like this. Well, they're nice people. I realize that. They're, quote, good people and moral people. But this is how God sees everybody, just like this man. Take away the facade, take away the restraints, and this is the way everybody would be by nature, just like Ben-Hadad, and even tried to invent a false god. He said, their gods are gods of the mountains, but our gods are gods of the plains. He put a limitation. We can win if we're in the plains. We realize that he is a god, and he's very powerful, but he's got limitations. He can only operate in the hills, and our God can enable us to defeat him if we operate in the plains. So we see what a man this man was. Now, in verses 2 and 3, he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto them, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. Now, that kind of gives us a summary of history. This is what you have, I want. And that's what's behind so many things. What you have, I want. And he was going to take it. This is what is the behind many wars. What you have, I want. And then he took it even further. The next day, he said, I'm going to send people into your home, and whatever you like, I'm going to take. Your silver, your gold, your wives, your children, I'm going to take them, and they're going to be mine. And Ahab said, okay, I'm yours, but you're not going to do that. I think it's interesting. Well, he'd already said, all that I have is thine, but when he comes to take it, hold on, let's don't go this direction. I don't want to do that. And he came to the elders and said, look what he's saying to me. And they said, don't consent to him. And I think it's interesting what he said in verse 11. And the king of Israel answered, this is after Ben-Hadad said, I'm gonna bring handful, you know, thousands of people and going to destroy you. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Now, it's kind of surprising to see wisdom like that come out of Ahab's mouth. He said, don't boast in this victory while you're pulling out the sword. The only one that has a reason to boast is the one who's putting his sword back in the sheath because the victory is already accomplished. Now, that's the gospel. We are resting in a victory that has already been accomplished. Sword's already been put back into the sheath. The sword of God's justice slew Christ. Christ satisfied all the debt every believer owes. And we are resting in a finished work. And we didn't have anything to do with it. It's what he did on our behalf. Amen. It's what he did. This was not a cooperative effort. This is not something that he did his part and we do our part. No, he by himself. I love that. He by himself. With no help from me or you, he by himself purged our sins. And we are resting right now in a finished victory. Tell Israel her warfare is accomplished. Well, Ben-Hadad took complete offense at that. And then God sent a prophet to Ahab. Verse 13, and behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel. I believe it was Micah, because we read about him in the next chapter. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now, salvation, God's salvation, is what he does. I will deliver, not I'm offering you deliverance. You know, most preaching makes the gospel an offer. I'm offering you my grace. I'm offering you mercy. I'm sincerely offering you the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is an offer. I cannot sufficiently describe my contempt for that kind of thinking. Salvation is not an offer. Salvation is an accomplishment. It's what he actually did. Now, if salvation is an offer, that means whether or not me or you are saved is dependent upon us, whether we accept or reject God's offer. That, my dear friends, is salvation by works, bottom line. God doesn't offer salvation. He didn't say, I'm going to offer you this victory. He said, you're going to have it today, and you're going to know that I am the Lord. And Ahab, verse 14, said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, the young men of the princes of the provinces, servants who are not trained in warfare. Then said he, who shall order this battle? And he said, you will. And I'm sure he was very surprised by that. So he numbered his people, and they went off into battle and won a great victory. Look in verse 15. Then he numbered the young men and the princes of the province. There were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that had helped him. And the young men of the province, the princes of the provinces, went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, "There are men come out of Samaria." And he said, "Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive." So these young men, untrained servants of the princes of the province, came out of the city, and the army which followed them, and they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. But Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on his horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter, just like the prophet said. A victory. An accomplished, completed victory. Verse 22, "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee." He's going to come back for war. "And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him," this is not Israel, this is the servants of Ben-Hadad, "Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. After all, they are gods, but let us fight against them in the plains, and surely we shall be stronger than they." Now, what Ben-Hadad and the Syrians were doing was putting limitations on God. He's God. He's real strong, no doubt about that. But he's a God of the hills. And we can't defeat them as long as we're fighting them in the hills. But if we get him down on the plains, we can defeat him. Limitations placed upon God. Now, the first limitation I think of that's placed upon God by religious people is free will. Free will. That puts a limitation on what can do, God can do. You can thwart his will with your own free will. You have a free will. Now, any kind of limitation on God makes him less than what he is. It makes him less than all-powerful. There are some circumstances where his power won't work. It makes him less than absolutely sovereign, one whose will is always done. No, there are some situations where his will can't be done. He has certain limitations. He's a God of the hills and not of the valleys. This summarizes what most people think of God. He's less than successful. There are some situations where he can't get what he wants. He's less than independent. There are some things he needs in order for his will to be done. He needs to be in the hills, not in the valleys, or he can't do what he wants to do. He's less than immutable. He can change. He's one way in the hills and he's another way in the valleys. He's less than omniscient. He's not all wise. He's less than omnipresent. In other words, this is a false man-made God. Any God that has limitations like this is a false man-made God. A God that cannot save, a God that's non-existent, a God that is not to be worshipped. Any God, and I want to say this as strongly as I can, believing it to be so, knowing it so, any God that's not exactly like the God of the Bible, the God of absolute predestination, the God of absolute sovereignty, the God of perfect holiness, the God of absolute justice, is a false God, is a non-existent God, is an idol. They had a man-made God. Beginning in verse 24, and do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in the rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. The Israelites were vastly outnumbered. Vastly. They looked like a couple of little flocks against this huge army. Verse 28, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I, God, deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. And you shall know that I'm the Lord. You're going to know that the only reason this great multitude is delivered is because of me. I am going to deliver them into your hand. And this was a battle that was humanly impossible to win. We know there were at least 127,000 in this army that was all defeated against 7,000. Humanly speaking, this was impossible. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Does he need anybody's help? You're going to know that I'm the Lord that did this. Verse 29, and they pitched over one against the other 7 days, and so it was in the seventh day. The battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek, into the city. They thought they were find security in this city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. They were all destroyed. They thought they were going to find safety in this city, and the wall came down and killed the rest of them, and Ben-Hadad was left alone. Now next week, we're going to look at how Ben-Hadad is going to show us what it means to come to Christ. Utterly defeated the way he came to Ahab. So let's go ahead and read a few verses. And somebody says, well, how can you use such a wicked man as a type? Well, are there any that aren't wicked men? If I've got to find a perfect man to use as a type, there won't be any. But see if you see the gospel in this. Look, then we're going to consider this next week. And his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. Your life is in his hands. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. Now, this is Ahab speaking. And he says, Is he yet alive? He's my brother. Where'd that come from? He's my brother. Ahab says of Ben-Hadad, He's my brother. After all the wickedness that Ben-Hadad had done, yet he says, He's my brother. And that's what Christ says of every one of his people. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's my brother. Now the men did diligently observe anything that would come from him. They were listening to what Ahab had to say, and they did hasty to catch it. He's calling him brother. They caught it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into his chariot. And look, notice how Ben-Hadad is in italics. The translators put it there, but that's not Ben-Hadad. This is Ahab still speaking. And Ahab said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father, I'll restore. And thou shalt make streets And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Now there we see the gospel that came out of that. And that's what we're going to consider next week.